Welcome to GarageCast. Tony Gonzalez, Sam Dantzler, coming to you once again live from the AIM Expo floor in beautiful, rain-drenched Las Vegas.
Not today, brother. Not today. It's sunny out there.
Sun is poking through. I think they call it a atmospheric river is what's going on. That's a way to inject fear and mayhem into the general population. Right. It's not a rainstorm. It's now a atmospheric river.
Fear-based selling, you know, tends to work.
We're going to do our best to get new thinking out there. There's going to be discussions centered around growth and new thinking.
That's where those great ideas come from, exploring them together.
Nuggets that you can go back and put into your dealership that'll help you make more money.
This is GarageCast.
Two dudes that know about atmospheric rivers. Their city's been underwater, I don't know, one or two times before. So yeah,
hence the road conditions.
So yeah. What a treat. We got Danny French and Max Matern from OCD. We'll get into that a little bit, but everybody knows that also Max is running the service portion of Garage Composites. So guys, thanks for stopping by.
Good to
see you.
Of course. Great being here.
So Danny, you guys are here probably checking out, sniffing around, pitching a little bit of the product. Why don't you give our listeners about a little bit pitch of what's going on with OCD and your product?
Thanks for having me, by the way. This is awesome. This is a really great idea. So our product, our platform, we don't know what it's going to become.
I love that.
But we know.
I so love that.
We know what it is.
OCD.
Yeah, exactly.
Running both of our own places for, you know, Max, how many years?
17 years.
17. I had my store for about 9 years. Both primarily fixed ops guys. We both realize how important the customer experience is beyond the sale. Whenever a customer comes in to buy a bike, we call them enthusiasts because they are enthusiastic and they are living the best version of themselves.
Yep.
You know, they might not be living the best version of themselves after the sale. And so we want to connect the back of the house to the front of the house and improve the customer experience.
Yep.
Really improve the customer experience, not just like a buzzword, like it's getting into the weeds and identifying processes and how we can build technology to support those processes.
Yeah.
Cloud.
I envision these guys as Beaker, the two scientists in the Muppet Show. With data. They're in there. Max is Beaker. He's just putting stuff up.
Tony's behind the drum set as Animal.
Right. So, Max, anything to add to that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys know. You know how nerdy I am when it comes to data and different ways we can study it and all that. And so this really started as a way to start understanding the value of customers. So we basically built it as a way to take transactional data out of the DMS and then say, with that information, what's the total customer lifetime value, which is like huge in every other industry. We just haven't done that in ours yet. So we studied this customer lifetime value, and with that, we've been able to help dealerships not only understand what it means, but also how to improve the customer experience to drive that number up even more. You know, with that tool now exists. It tells us some great info about the customer and our seasonality of those customers and everything, the trade probability of those customers. But we now are using that tool to go in stores and help them identify ways to, like Danny said, what processes are going to specifically improve it, and how do we streamline that process so that we always had the problem with, and I know you guys, when you're working with stores as well, we can teach new employees and existing employees how to do it. Here's how you connect with the customer. Here's what you need to learn about form and all this important steps. But really, the technology doesn't support the same process that we think should be in the store. And so it finally got to a point of, well, somebody's got to do something about it, and nobody did for long enough, so we just started putting it all together, and that's where we're at right now. It's really fun.
And I love the word ecosystem. You guys talk about the cohesiveness to the power sport and marine industries through a cloud-based ecosystem, like that whole global view of that customer experience, a lifetime value of a customer. I think what gets missed is that when we teach sales training or we teach line items per ticket and following the sales process for a service writer, people are thinking about that transaction right now, not what does it mean to have that customer belong to the dealership, because that's where they want to be.
Absolutely.
And so if we can have the systems that allow for it, if we can do the follow-up to bring them back in, that whole ecosystem tends to work far better.
So we're talking to everybody that comes to the show about 2024 and sentiment and what's going on. So we're going to ask both of you guys, well, what do you guys see based off of some of the stuff that you're culling out of your data? What do we see as 2024? Danny, I'll start with you. What's going to go down?
I see that there is a tremendous amount of data. There's so much data, and the industry is only touching 1% of it.
Yep.
There's so much more that we can do, and the only way that we know what to do with the data is to get into the dealerships and work with the dealerships and ask questions about, you know, how do you study your comeback rate? Do you have a comeback problem? Typically the answer is no. Not really. It's like, okay, well, how do you know that?
Yeah, dive deeper into that, like a comeback problem, which I would agree with you. Your data shows that there is a major problem with that, and how what's a better way to gauge that?
Well, the first step is identifying it. So if there's no way to identify it, which there isn't necessarily right now, and if there is, everybody's doing it differently, there has to be a way for dealers to easily and efficiently monitor that in order to figure out how to fix it. We have our own ideas on how to fix it, but you know, that might not be the same way for every dealer.
Yeah. So we feel like there's no way for us to come up with a solution because it came out of our head and assume that we can shove it down the throats of every dealer. It's got to be made with the dealers in mind and how they work. And so that's why.
Another example that really got to me whenever I had my store was like service wait time. Somebody calling in, they have a warranty issue, they have some kind of problem. It's not a good thing, usually calling service. And so the customer calls in, service advisor says, nah, we can get you in 3 to 4 weeks. How'd you come up with that number?
Yeah.
You know, there's no way for them right now to come up with that number. And that's big because as soon as they hang up the phone, that guy is going to be calling every other dealership. And if there's another dealership that's offering a better experience, see you later. We can get you in right now, and it's going to cost this much.
And you lose that customer for life.
Boy, it honestly sounds like digital leads. When we first started tracking, dealers just didn't know how to track it. And some of these things you're bringing up is
or the importance of it.
How to track it and why to track it. And then we can use it to improve the situation.
Yeah.
What about 2024? What's your answer to that?
It's going to sound biased. I know you're going to hear this, but I think 2024 is going to be a huge fixed operations year. I mean, if we're not seeing people, if we're not seeing as many units moving, theoretically, whether or not that really happens, then those customers are keeping their units longer.
Yeah,
and they're either going to have a good experience keeping that unit longer, or they're going to have a bad experience. And it's not just we're going to lose them out of the dealership; we're going to lose them out of the sport. Mm. And we can't do that right now. We got so many new people. It was so exciting the last few years. I think fixed operations has to understand the value of those customers, understand how to increase the value, and that's how we'll keep this year continuing to grow.
Yeah, I like that, and that's not biased. I really believe that is we are ripe to have fixed operations take control. It's one of the things that we've been talking about in our 20 clubs is it's one of those things of the culture. What's the culture? Because if it's just the culture of the only thing that matters is the front door, it's going to be a struggle.
Yep.
And, you know, I've been hitting Max a lot on this, and Danny in our 20 clubs is, you know, how proactive are you being in those departments? And they are just reactive departments. And other point you made, Danny, is like, we're 3 to 4 weeks out. Like, how do you know that? The whole thing is that we have – a lot of people will say we're paralyzed with information, and I don't believe we are. If you manage your information and you just look at it and see what kind of story it can tell you, and just go just one level deeper, you're going to be a whole lot better off and being proactive and controlling the department, not letting the customer control you.
Yeah. I do want to mention, though, I don't think that service departments or fixed op stores and dealerships are reactionary because they aren't good at their job or it's just that they don't have the tools to be able to do that in many cases or the tools to do them. I mean, I wrote service for a very, very long time. There are so many things that you need to do in that role, so many technologies and so many different tools and conversations and communication. And we need someone to focus on how do you make that easy for the employee so that that employee can make it easy for the customer, make a better experience for that customer. And that's what we're really trying to do is we're not going to build all the solutions. We're trying to bridge the gap between the solutions. So now that employee doesn't have to be an IT expert just to check a customer in or just to know where that part is or it's coming in. It's just make it easy to sell so that we make it easy to buy.
Right. Keep it simple.
It's one more step on top of what you've always said, Sam.
I've heard it. It's not my line. Yeah. That's a logo right there. Hey, so here's the last question I have for you guys. And either one of you take it. What's the thing we're not talking about that we should be talking about?
You go first. I've got something, but I'm going to make it good.
I'm going to drop a ball.
He's not ready either.
I'm not ready. I think we should be just primarily thinking about what's it like to be a customer right now.
Yeah.
I think that's number one. It's just little focus empathy, on customer huh? experience.
I think it's empathy. Understanding what to do with the data. The only way that that's done is asking questions that a lot of dealers haven't even thought of and marry that to the customer journey. The customer journey is so important. Every mm-hmm. other industry is becoming so customer centric, and our dealerships need to get that two-word motto in their brain. It's customer-centric. We have to be customer-centric, and it's beyond the sale.
You know, there's one last thing I need to add to that is the units that we sell have gotten more and more and more and more expensive. They're very pricey now. Yep. And our customer base, the people who are buying those, they have nicer cars. They stay in nicer hotels. You know, they live a different life than many of our employees in our stores. And I think the focus needs to be, okay, what does it feel like when you go to that really nice car dealership? What's it like when you stay in the Ritz instead of staying at the you know, Courtyard Marriott? Like, what's the difference between those things? And if we can start to understand, oh, this feels better because of blank, then we can start to say, how do we fit blank into our stores?
Sure. It's funny, Tony. Like, we fly all the time, and I think you and I probably take it for granted when we skip the lines at the mm-hmm. TSA and the security. But it does feel good. I'm never not appreciative of skipping that line. And I think about priority maintenance, and then I get to skip the line of your 3-week wait in the service department.
That's such a great analogy. Yeah.
What's the behavior and what does that feel like to the customer? How do we allow that to happen in different aspects of the dealership?
Yep.
What makes it feel premium and what makes it easy?
Easy.
Yes. So easy. Number one.
I love easy. So wonderful. Danny French, Max Matern from OCD, Max Matern with Garage Composites. Yep. Max Matern. The weaker, uglier.
That's true.
Less
we had another
cool,
Matern on yesterday.
Bigger nose sibling of your brother Zach. So I mean, do you have an answer for this?
I've always been the fixed ups guy. I don't know. I'm always
the back of the house the guy.
Bag of the house.
I'm the guy who has to make him look good. So
you're not doing a good job.
Thank you. Yeah, great. It's either a compliment for me or insult. I don't know.
Keep propping your big brother up, man. I love that. So hey guys, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you all so much. This is so great.
All right, man. Take care.